Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you in the morn on WFHR. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're here to have some fun in the next hour. We're going to be getting into some fun things. We got the entertainment news coming up for you in a little bit. We also have five tips for finding the perfect pumpkin.
The perfect pumpkin.
Yes, the perfect
pumpkin. Perfect pumpkin.
Perfect pumpkin for you. We'll also have a pumpkin-related story involving that and a lottery. We've got that coming up a little bit later. Get into that one. And some other fun stuff we've got lined up for you.
Very
plenty
nice.
Of good stories of the day, and we'll get into our schedule as well. All that coming up for you, everybody. Let's kick off with a little entertainment news. And it being Halloween month and everything, a scary movie month, let's talk a little scary movies.
All right.
And Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, Nightmare on Elm Street, well, they're silly movies, and there's 20,000 of them and everything. They actually do have two incredible legends in their craft doing these movies.
Mm-hmm.
One in Wes Craven.
Yep.
One of the greater directors and certainly top five horror directors of all time, if not in the top three.
Yes, I agree.
Top three, actually.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, top three.
Professor Craven, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know if people
right.
know he was he taught college for a while before he got into filmmaking. Yep.
The guy understood horror.
He
the
did.
Guy understood suspense.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I didn't love, I always took something away from a Wes Craven movie like, whoa, he did that differently. Or, oh. And mm-hmm. of course, really, Wes Craven changed everything with Scream.
He did. He flipped everything on its head.
Everything has been
a
different.
Brilliant movie, by the way. And I don't. It's become
it
so part of the culture. But when that came out, I mean, it was brilliant. It was just a brilliant idea.
My buddy Steve and I went to the theater and saw it. And mm-hmm. we were the only ones in there. And it was around this time of year and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was. We went there just for something to do and thought it'd be fun. Did not expect it to be that good.
Like, just a flat-out good movie.
It may be the last really good horror movie I've seen. it really was.
Right.
It was that kind of good. It was that mm-hmm. kind of game-changing and everything. It was different. And, of course, Robert Englund, who played Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Englund, classically trained, wonderful actor.
Yes.
Wonderful actor. If you get
one of the sweetest, nicest people you have ever seen in your life.
Johnny Depp and a couple of other people talk about how they actually had some problems that we've talked about before with actors where they had a difficult time being intimidated by this person.
Yes, exactly.
And that actually plays mm-hmm. into our conversation here a little bit because there are some iconic things about Freddy Krueger. Obviously, mm-hmm. the sweater, the
yep.
hand with the
hand, the
claws
the glove.
And everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would say the fedora.
Yep, 100%.
That is a big part yep. of it. Well, Robert Englund actually had to fight for that fedora.
Really?
Freddy Krueger's fedora is almost as iconic as his red and green sweater and his sharp, slashy glove,
mm-hmm.
But it almost didn't happen. It's such an original part. It's an original part conceived by its creator, Wes Craven. He patented Freddy after a drunk in a fedora who scared him when he was a kid in Cleveland.
Oh, That I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Never heard that before.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But as they were fine-tuning Freddy's look, several people, including Craven, panicked over the fedora, thinking it would remind people of Indiana Jones.
I understand that because what came out in 84, mm-hmm. Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, by then, Indiana Jones was already a cultural phenomenon at that point. So, yeah.
Robert Englund says that they made him try out different lids, including a paperboy hat that made him look like one of the kids from Newsies.
Oh, that would not work at all. No, no.
With all the photoshopping you could do nowadays, I feel like that might be a fun thing for you to do on the weekend. Just photoshopping different hats on
Freddy Krueger. Yeah.
I want him in a Lincoln hat.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that. A Viking hat.
Yeah, right.
Englund convinced them that the fedora was the way to go, in part because it lightened the character up a little bit. It made the character a little more tongue-in-cheek, a little bit more dark humor and everything.
Exactly, which, I mean, as the sequels went on, he became more a parody of him,
yeah.
of the character, which is fine, you know. These aren't, like, cinematic, you know, classics. They're,
yeah.
they're fun, to be honest. They're very fun. And the first one is, you know, kind of a game-changer, but they're not supposed to be, you know, cinematic gold or anything like that.
I always like these movies a little bit more than Halloween or some of the other big
ones. Friday the 13th or something like that. Yeah.
Because he talked trash. He was a trash talker. I want to say, I don't know if there's ever been another, has there ever been another villain, like, another like horror character that does that?
Mm-mm.
I mean, he's the only one that would break the fourth wall, that would kind of like, you know, actually, it was like you and Freddy were on the same, like, it was coming from Freddy's perspective almost.
Yes,
he would not only break the fourth wall, but these jokes were for the audience.
Yep.
They obviously weren't for the victim.
No. And that's what kind of made it, which makes sense when you see what Craven later did with Scream.
Yeah.
It totally made, that's the kind of director he was. Yeah.
It's really kind of interesting. And to think that never happens, that the fedora doesn't even happen without Robert Englund.
Here's a side note, by the way. What happens when you have the same last name as a famous movie villain? If your name is Krueger?
Mm-hmm.
How does that go? I mean, there's people out there whose last name, Voorhees, is an actual last name.
Yeah, that's a popular
last name. And I wonder.
That's a great question.
They must get a lot of, your last name is Voorhees? You're related to Jason?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can't imagine the amount of times they've heard that.
Oh.
Those of us that from the 80s may have been waiting for this one, or maybe not, or maybe you never even thought about it, but either way, your day is finally here. There is going to be a live-action Voltron movie coming.
Really?
Yeah, they are doing a live-action Voltron movie, and it's going to star Superman. Henry Cavill has signed up for this. Yeah.
I don't think I understand the sentence you just said there.
Yeah. Superman is going to be in Voltron. Yes, that is the sentence. And that is a tough one to wrap your mind around.
Wow.
Let's take a call real quick. Good morning. You're on the show.
Okay, we have to rewind a little bit.
All right.
Seth had to make me call in.
Okay, all right.
Yet with my last name, with Freddie.
Oh, that's right.
It's actually. I mean, if you want to say my last name the right way, it's not Krueger, it's Krieger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But people still assumed it was Krueger, and I got it all the time, especially in high school.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because that was a time that came out and it was pretty popular and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. I mean, that was.
I don't know if there's a relation there or not, but actually my oldest daughter, Bria, her last name is Krieger.
Was Krieger. Yeah, but was it spelled the same way?
It's spelled the same way.
But it's pronounced Krieger. Yes.
Just pronounced differently. So I thought of that when you were talking about it. I was making a mental note. I'm like, I got to ask Bria if she had that.
Oh.
I was wondering if you'd chime in on this one, Kev. So did you deal with that at all? Did you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I dealt with it. And, when I was younger, it did bother me when people would always call me Krueger, and it's like, no, it's Krieger, and you know. But now it's to the point where it's like, whatever, you know.
Right.
It's just one of those things back in the day in Germany, you know, how, you know, you get Smythe or Smith or all that stuff, and it just, I mean, people say, well, that's not how you spell Krieger. You're supposed to have the E before the U, then, and blah, 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 my God.
No, that's
people.
Hey, I didn't invent it. Yeah,
you got all the empathy in the world coming from a hab hacker and a mail off.
Yeah,
kidding. You definitely, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
I am positive. I don't know this for sure, but off the top of my head, I'm positive more people have mispronounced my name than pronounced it right in my life. I think a lot, and I wonder how many people, like, actually, if you looked at the numbers, how many people have lean more towards their last name has been said wrong than right in their lifetime.
Yeah. Probably, yep.
There's quite a few of them out there. Good to talk to you.
The funny thing is, ever since, you know, since Nightmare on Elm Street came out, to my knowledge, in my family, there has nobody been named Freddy or Fred.
That could be by design. Yes, no Freds in our family.
It feels like a little more than a coincidence. Yeah. That's always good to talk to you, man. Have a good one. Safe travels out there.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Safe travels, brother. That's great.
That's great. I had forgotten that's his last name. Yeah,
it popped in my head, and I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if he would call in, but I was making a mental note to ask Bree about that. I have to ask her about that one. I think that is pretty good.
I think she'll have some good stories too. Yeah.
Got another call coming.
All right.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. The scariest movie I can remember is The Deep. That one freaked me out big time. And this might have even been before you guys were born.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it at the movie.
Oh, gosh.
The monster come out of the cave in the in the ocean area, and he just freaked me out.
The 1977 movie?
That's probably it. Yep.
It's got Nick Nolte in it, I think. The scuba diving one?
I can't remember who was in it, but
sure.
That one freaked me out big time. Yeah.
That I get it. Yeah. I could see that. Anything like, especially with the water. Like there's something about that is so like ripe for horror. Mm-hmm. Anytime you involve water, not knowing what is below, not being able to see what is below, that'll get you every time.
Yep,
that's a good one, sir. Yeah, thank you for that one.
Yep,
it did. All right, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Now that's a good one too. I was just doing a little. It's based on a novel by Peter Benchley, also who was the novelist for Jaws. Same thing. He had a thing with water-based horror, apparently, yeah, Mr. Yeah. Benchley. So, but yeah, that one sounds pretty scary. I love the tagline. Is anything worth the terror of the deep?
Ooh, that's good.
That's good. Good poster, too.
I miss them taking time for a good tagline.
Oh, man.
They don't do it anymore, man.
They don't.
And it used to sell a movie. Able to sell a movie with a good tagline.
I'm telling you.
The Deep from 1977.
Yeah, there you go.
That's have an
unofficial.
Jacqueline Bisset. That's it.
Yes. Yeah, Robert Shaw's in that, too, who was also in Jaws.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty good.
Yep.
So we were touching on this. The 80s kids rejoice. Voltron is forming. Voltron form.
Yes.
Voltron was an 80s cartoon from Japan about five people who piloted robot lions,
yep.
Which could join together to perform a gigantic humanoid mega robot called Voltron.
Why lions?
A sword and everything.
Why lions?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
they looked cool. It was a cool show, but that's a weird choice. They connect. I mean, at that point, everything connected to each other. You know, there was all these shows about, you know, form up kind of thing, or there's Transformers, you know, all this stuff. So, yeah.
There aren't any, there's no plot details yet on this one or anything, but with the rise of, this was in the works for a long time. The most recent Transformers movie, the success of that really led to this.
Which is really interesting, yeah.
And that's part of it. Now, Henry Cavill is a big toy guy.
I didn't know that.
He's been working really hard behind the scenes producing and starring in a Warhammer movie that is coming out on Netflix, I believe. And that's part of the reason why he didn't want to leave the Superman role, but leaving it was probably okay. And it's a big part of the reason why he left the Witcher series is to do this Warhammer thing.
Which is insanely popular all over the world.
He's signed up to do this, and there is heavy rumors going on right now that if they are going to do another Wolverine movie, he's it. Like they him and Kevin Feige have already kind of had a gentleman's agreement about this. This is just talk. There's no actual data on this one, but there's a lot of talk about it. And both of these guys are known for kind of slipping information out to the audience. And
yeah,
hey,
little leaks here and there. Yep.
I might do something like this for one to see what audiences think, but also because they are fans of these things as well and want fans to know about them. I kind of really respect that about Henry Cavill.
He is the most official, unofficial addition to the Marvel, the MCU.
Yeah.
Because we know at some point he's going to be there in some role. He'll be there.
If anything, it might even be out of spite. Just because the way things ended with DC and him was not good. And they didn't treat him very good.
No, they didn't.
I'm a James Gunn guy, but that didn't end well.
Yep.
And they could have handled that a lot better. So with that, I could definitely see him going to the Marvel Universe and everything. But they'll be doing Voltron first and Warhammer before that. I guarantee that stuff will happen first. Pretty interesting. And one of these guys who has really embraced the nerd role that doesn't look it. And I like that about him.
A guy who's like a chiseled human being.
Yeah.
Fabulous, handsome. And yet, at heart, he's just a big old nerd.
It's biggest quads in history. It's like A.J. Dillon, Ricky Henderson, and Henry Cavill. Like, just incredible.
Earl Campbell is jealous, right?
Yeah. You watch him in The Witcher on a horse, and you're like, whose quads are those? The horse or Henry Cavill? You're not sure. You're not sure. TV new on your small screen this weekend. The one-hour TV special on ABC at 7, Latinos in Hollywood, Owning Our Dynasty, Destiny, in honor of Latin American Heritage Month. That sounds pretty good.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Let's see here. Lonely Planet on Netflix, starring Laura Dern as a reclusive novelist. It's a romance comedy with Liam Hemsworth. Tuesday.
Interesting combo there.
This, I am very excited about this one. I shouldn't say excited. It's going to be a heavy movie. But today, streaming on Max, Tuesday, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus as a mother and daughter who are guided by death in coping with the daughter's impending death from a terminal illness.
Wow.
It is a heavy watch, but just the trailer gives me goosebumps and moved me. Like, Julia Louis-Dreyfus doesn't get to do serious work very often.
I was going to say, this is not what we know her for. Mm-hmm. She's done drama, but usually there's always some comedy with it. This sounds like true, straight-up drama.
She's got a movie she did with James Gandolfini. It may have even been his last movie, I believe, that was incredible. And that was a serious role that mm-hmm. she did. But other than that, I haven't really seen her do... Enough Said. Enough Said is the name okay. of the movie. You get a chance to see that one, everybody. It's a really good movie.
To see what she's... with her real chops. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. On Hulu, Mr. Crockett, a horror movie starring Jarek Henson from Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
And disclaimer.
Sorry. That's the name of the horror movie, Mr. Crockett?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. Really, that's all right. Fine.
On Apple TV Plus, the premiere of Disclaimer, a psychological thriller starring the great Cate Blanchett. Also, Kevin Kline is in it. That's cool. You don't see him work very much.
No.
Wow. And Sacha Baron Cohen, who we just mentioned earlier.
We just mentioned his birthday this weekend.
But there's just really a couple of things to watch this weekend. The Simpsons and football. And The Penguin, if you like. Friday on Disney, today on Disney Plus,
typical.
A new animated short from The Simpsons, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. It's all about Halloween, I believe. This weekend on NBC, hosting Saturday Night Live is Ariana Grande, and Stevie Nicks is the musical guest.
Wow. Hey, haven't seen Stevie in a while.
I'm looking
That's
forward.
Awesome.
I want to see that.
Very cool.
Yeah. Sunday Night Football got the New York Giants taking on the Cincinnati Bengals.
What? Yawn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I will say, though, any chance I get to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, I'm taking it. I like watching those two. I don't know. Cincinnati ain't very good on defense.
I'm telling you that they especially the last game, even though we still lost, was really impressive. And he's not just saying that because both of those guys are on his fantasy team.
Not at all.
He's not saying that at all.
Didn't even think about that when I said it. You're so right, Matty. Good call. Good call. The episode 4 of The Penguin is on HBO on Sunday as well. If you have ever wondered what it would be like if Mario Puzo wrote for DC.
Wrote for DC Comics, yeah.
And he was emo. This is it. This is what you get. The Penguin. It's incredible. I've loved it. I've really enjoyed it. New on your big screen, new movies coming out this weekend. You've got Piece by Piece, the PG Lego movie, all about the Pharrell Williams. It's a biography about Pharrell, but it's done with Legos. And
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. They wrote 5 original songs for this, and they actually have a bunch of guest voices in it. Gwen Stefani, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, Timberland, Jay-Z, Daft Punk are all in it as
people
well.
People he's produced over the years. Yeah, basically. That's cool.
I'm not really big on a lot of these, and we just saw with Jennifer Lopez how this can really bomb and hurt your career. But if you're going to do something and doing it with Legos, that's kind of a different
approach. I like the spin on it. That's kind of cool, if you ask me.
A different way.
Yep.
Saturday Night has an expanded release. This is about the first hours before the first premiere of Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
It stars a handful of actors, but J.K. Simmons and Dylan O'Brien are in it as well. Dylan O'Brien as Dan Aykroyd does sound pretty good.
And J.K. Simmons is just fabulous in everything he does.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
That is what's new on your big screen.
All right.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun. We're going to talk about The Perfect Pumpkin, how to find the first
Perfect pumpkin
coming up for you right here. WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Hope you're having a great one out there. We're getting you ready for our news break coming up in just minutes. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about finding the perfect pumpkin.
Yay!
We got 5 tips to find the perfect pumpkin. That'll be right after our news break.
1, make sure it's a pumpkin.
You don't want a gourd.
You don't want a gourd. You can be inventive with gourds, so
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
not. Oh, well,
you
sorry.
Can make it work.
I'm just complicating things.
What I wanted to touch on right here as we get ready for the break is this is kind of a bridges the gap between our entertainment section and our news. A new report found the average employees waste an incredible amount of time on activities that have nothing to do with work.
Okay.
The biggest time wasters is streaming stuff or watching TV. The average Gen Zer watches just about 236 hours of TV a year while they're on the clock, or almost 10 days worth.
What? Wow.
Based on the average hourly wage of $35 an hour, that's about $8,241 worth of time spent watching TV. For Gen Xers, it's just under $7,000, and millennials spend about the least amount of time watching TV at work, 3,857 hours a year.
Wow.
Or dollars a year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We waste time on other stuff, too. The top time wasters at work include playing games, socializing, browsing the internet, and just relaxing or daydreaming. Who is this?
Oh,
I have never worked with anybody that maybe it's the jobs I've done, whether it's construction or doing radio or in the entertainment work that I've done. I don't know. I'm not trying to be flippant here. I've never seen this.
Okay.
I've never worked with somebody who's sitting back watching TV on their phone or on their laptop or something.
Right, right.
I generally have never seen this.
Yep.
I don't know if it's just the industries I've worked in or not. But even I worked when I first got back to town here, and I was just working part-time at the station, I worked for about 2 years over at the gas station in Nacoosa. Shout out to them. Great people over there. I never saw it there. I never saw anybody like – I'm not saying that I haven't seen people waste time at work. There's certainly socializing. I've seen plenty of socializing at every job I've ever been in and all the ones I've mentioned.
Right.
But I've never seen this. Yeah. I don't – like, let alone this much.
Okay. So here you go. And I think it is part of the what you're saying is the industries you have worked in. For many years, I worked as a bank teller or a credit union customer, you know, member service rep or whatever you want to call it. And there are gaps when there's no one there. There's quite slow times when you're doing that. And, you know, there's only so many times you can, you know, make sure the bills in your drawer are like the same direction, you know, and nice and, you know, flattened out and all these things. Right. So yeah, then you have a little bit of time, you know, to surf the internet. And yeah, I don't remember anyone ever watching TV because, you know, people would be coming up, but there's plenty of things to look at. You know, you got a computer right there. So look at, find out, you know, when you take your next vacation or something like that. So
I could see that.
That makes that more sense. And, you know, when you're in an office by yourself and you're like, you know, well, I can't really do this now and I can't do this. And I might as well just, you know, throw something up there kind of thing. So I don't think. I don't like the way they frame it. It's like, you know, you're slacking on the job. No, I think maybe, yeah, I'm sure some people do. But I think a lot of it is just you're in between and you're waiting or something. There's something going on. And it's like, well, I got to kill some time. There's nothing really I can do. So let's do this.
I talk a lot about accountability, not only on the air, but with our politicians and our law enforcement and so many other things. And I talk a lot about how we need more and more people to be able to own when they're wrong and, you know, acknowledging that.
Yep.
And I am wrong. I completely forgot about my hotel working
career. Oh, gosh, that's true.
When I worked in the hotel industry and I was a night auditor.
I was going to say you're midnights, too, when there's not that many people coming in.
So especially when I was living in California. I was working there, I would say around 3 in the morning until about 4 or 5 o'clock, I would sit back in the break room and watch Forensic Files. I've seen every single episode of Forensic Files. I could tell you anything you want to know about Files.
I totally believe you.
I'm not proud of any of this,
but
again, I have to own this. I did do that.
You're not. It's not like, I mean, James is this, you know, extremely hard worker, but there's nothing to do.
I was all caught up.
There's a body there. When I worked at Master Control for the public television station in Fargo, I worked a 10-hour shift from like 3 in the afternoon till like 1 in the morning. And you're there just to make sure everything runs correctly. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
There's not. I mean, there's only so many times you can like dust, you know, so
absolutely.
You're going to do other things.
And if you're caught up on your work and there is nothing to do, the worst thing you can do is just kind of sit there and not do anything. Your brain needs to keep active, but it also it also needs to keep interested.
Yep.
And keeping your brain ready, whether it's just, you know, streaming something or looking at something or just, you know, even just daydreaming, looking at it for a vacation, like you were saying, is keeping your mind active.
Right.
So that when somebody comes in to talk to the teller or, you know, check in at the hotel or something like that, you're ready to go.
Right.
If you're just sitting there numb and, you know, brain, you know, just I will say there's a balance. There's a line in the sand, certainly. You've got to earn your paycheck, I believe. And I don't believe in necessarily wasting time. And I am one of those people that thinks you can always find some work. But at the same time, we're just talking about examples, and I'm right. positive there are other examples out there. The community is saying, shouting at the radio yep. Of other times for this.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, though, that is the catch in a lot of this is the people that are streaming or doing these things when there are customers around.
Yeah, then you don't want to do it. That's when you're going to get in trouble, and that's when you're probably not going to be working there much longer. So
I was just at a gas station recently, and somebody was on the phone, and they would not get off the phone while I was... This morning, I had somebody I was waiting yeah. on, and I know they were in back and mm-hmm. everything. So that can be a little bit different.
Yeah, that's kind of rude. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
But our like, this isn't me saying this. This isn't an opinion. This is science. Our mm-hmm. brains need to relax as much as they need to learn.
And that's a great point. Great point.
And they can't take in new information if all they're doing is work.
You need to rest.
I am a living embodiment
yes,
of
he
this.
Is.
and I know by the science of it. It's mm-hmm. the only thing that got me to finally start sleeping a little bit is that, okay, if I actually want to be creative and good at my job, I have
you
to sleep.
You have to rest. Your brain has to shut down
those
for a while.
Those scepters can't do anything if you're just constantly awake or constantly being, you know, engaged mm-hmm. and all that and doing that. That's interesting. It's an interesting article.
It is very, very interesting.
And part of the reason, too, I think that you see so many a divide in the workforce right now, where people like trying to relate and build that bridge between
yeah,
the
exactly.
two. Mm-hmm. And find out that we have more, you know, in common work-wise than we realize.
I think so.
We will get
and,
to
and
our...
jobs are important.
Yeah.
Let's put that out there. Most jobs, there's a reason for them, and they're important. So we should be treating them like that.
You know, I think you would have a very difficult time trying to come up with a job that doesn't need to exist.
Exactly.
And pretty much everything has a purpose, has
yeah,
a reason.
Except for middle managers.
Yes. we will take
shots fired.
Quick time out. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
There is a fantastic parody version of this that Tracy Morgan does on 30 Rock about a werewolf bar mitzvah. It's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to get in. We're talking a little Halloween here, everybody.
Let's
we're talking
do it.
Pumpkins. If you're heading to the pumpkin patch this weekend, here are 5 tips to bring home the perfect pumpkin for you and yours.
All right.
First up, check the pumpkins for soft spots and signs of mold.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to check underneath and press on it with your thumbs. If it gives a little, the pumpkin isn't fresh.
That's right.
I feel like that's one of those ones that, I don't know if it's common knowledge or not, but one of those ones you kind of feel and know,
yeah.
even if you don't mm-hmm. realize that you know.
Is it squishy?
Yeah.
squishy pumpkins.
No squishy pumpkins. Look for one that has its handle or stem intact.
Yep.
And a dark green stem is a sign it was picked recently.
Oh, okay.
Compared to a brown stem.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now
gotcha.
That's... I did not know that, and I'm honest. I'll be honest. I usually grab the ones with the brown stem because I thought it looked cool. That's interesting.
Well, does it mean? I mean, just because that means it's been picked doesn't mean it's a bad pumpkin. Just
yeah.
Just the if it's fresher, it's probably more firm and easier to carve if you're doing it. So yeah.
Well, and if you're getting a pumpkin this weekend, you're going to want it to last a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
To make it to Halloween.
Because we've all seen those pumpkins. collapsed in on themselves.
Boy. Yeah. Please, people, November 1st, pick up those pumpkins. Please. Get them. I love Halloween more than most, but, you know, let it go.
Yeah,
we gotta let it go. Otherwise, what does it mean? You know? tap the outside of the pumpkin. A hollow sound it means it's more likely to be easier to carve.
Oh, so it doesn't have as thick a wall. In other words, I think that's what that means. Okay.
Okay. All right. And look for pumpkins with flat walls and no deep ribs.
Mm.
Those are better for carving, and skip the tall oblong pumpkins, which typically have stringier flesh that makes precise cuts difficult.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I remember doing this a lot as a kid with my sister, where the pumpkin that we were trying to pick out would have like a flat, like one mm-hmm. side of it was
yep.
flat, so you knew it could carve on that part.
That would make it look, that would make it easier, right?
Look, and finally... when you think you've found out the one, set it on a flat surface to be sure it sits
upright.
Stands up,
yes.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Because there's nothing worse than a tippy jack-o'-lantern. Yeah, I mean, you don't want it to fall over. So
now, I think that I agree with all of these. These are all great tips and everything. And you can find out more going to USA Today or thekitchen.com. And that's kitchen without an I. The kitchen. And we've used that website with the kitchen's open.
That's right. Yep.
That's where we got this article from, if you want to find the complete article, everybody. While I agree with all of this, I will say there is use for these pumpkins that they are not talking about. All these outside of the pumpkin.
Okay,
pumpkins and everything. You just got to come up with the right idea for that pumpkin.
Exactly. So you're going to have to think outside the box, you know? If it looks like a football, well, make it into a football. That would be cool. You know, football jack-o'-lantern or something
like
that.
Make it into Arnold from Hey Arnold or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's kind of funny.
My sister loved that show. I never saw it. I just know the kid's head looked like a football.
Yeah, if you can. Oh, that's Arthur, actually. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but I think Arnold's did too. Anyway, how about picking a one out of the patch itself? Then you know it's going to be fresh.
Yeah,
if you can find one. I know there's not all the pick-your-own pumpkin patches everywhere. But I remember doing this in North Dakota because we did have a local farmer who had a pumpkin patch, and he said, yeah, just come on down and pick out a pumpkin or two kind of thing. So those are the best because you know exactly how fresh it is because you're picking it right off the vine.
Nice, good note on that one.
That's what I would recommend.
Gotten to do this a lot in my life, actually, and one of the things that I really enjoyed when I was out in California was doing this.
Okay.
It was such a blast. It was a lot of fun. They really get into a Halloween out there, and they really get into the whole pumpkin patches and some of that.
That's interesting.
Such a big ag industry in the part of California I was in,
sure,
and they really embrace it this time of year with a lot of, with not just the pumpkins but other things, of course. There's a lot of opportunities to do some pumpkin patch. We got some pumpkin patches in our neck of the woods. Support local, check them out, everybody. And a big shout out to all of them this weekend. Hope they all go well.
Yep.
That's a fun one. That's an interesting list.
Yes, it is.
I did want to mention this too. Sorry, on Monday we're going to be talking about jack-o'-lantern designs and coming up with new jack-o'-lantern designs and everything.
So awesome.
That's your homework this weekend, everybody. When you come back here on Monday, Melissa and Seth and I are going to be looking for you to let us know some of your fun jack-o'-lantern ideas.
Yes. I want to know so I can steal it. No, I'm just
kidding. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
For my pumpkin.
I can't come up with good ones, so I need your help. A North Carolina man won a $150,000 prize from a scratch-off lottery ticket, and he says he has it all. It all is thanks to a pumpkin.
Well, speaking of pumpkins, all right.
Hartford resident Roy Story, his real name, Roy Story,
nice.
That's his real name, told North Carolina Education Lottery officials he has a Halloween tradition of selling pumpkins from his garden.
Okay.
Quote, I raise a few pumpkins every year and sell them. Someone gave me $10 for a pumpkin, and I used that to buy the ticket. Story selected a $5 extreme cash word ticket at Sun Farms store on right outside of Elizabeth City. He said, I love to play crosswords, Story said. I play them all. The player said he initially didn't realize how much he had won. I didn't have my glasses on, so he thought he had won $1,000.
Still, not bad.
Yeah, pretty good return on the investment.
Take that, yeah.
Story said his winnings will go towards buying a new truck and local charities.
Oh, nice.
That is pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And all this.
Hooray for pumpkins.
Yes, the power of pumpkins, people. Pumpkins are great. And not just for spice.
I was going to say, remember, pumpkin spice, not pumpkins.
Yes.
That's a flavor. We're talking about actual, the pumpkins, man. We're talking the real thing.
I don't know if there is a more universal sign of fall or Halloween or one that brings everything together so well, like the pumpkin. It crosses over. It can be used for autumn. It can be used for fall.
Yep.
It can also be used for Halloween.
When you do the carving, yep.
Mm-hmm. So versatile. But, Seth, I have to ask.
All right.
When it comes to this time of year, is it the perfect pie?
Probably yes. I would say.
Really?
You get fall is good for two pies. Pumpkin definitely. Apple, of course, because that's usually when apples are ripest. That's when they're harvested. Is in September and October. Mm. So either of those just fine this time of year. Because I mean, well, it's good anytime. It's pie. I mean, pie. Come on.
Yes,
good
yes,
anytime
yeah,
of year.
Right, right.
I mean, why limit yourself? I mean, come on.
as one of the biggest lovers of pumpkin pie on the planet, I was very curious to know if I could throw you a curveball here or not. Nope, you knocked it out.
Nope.
Knocked it out. Got
nope,
a triple.
Sorry,
out.
Man.
Got a triple out of that.
Hanging curveball right there.
What is the perfect pie for this time of year? Let us know. Call us and join us, everybody. We'd love to hear from you.
Cherry stuff is good, too.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, wrap up the week. The Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Hanging out with you in the morning on WFHR, Seth and James. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get into a little bit of news here before we wrap up the show. We'll get into our schedule in a moment as well. But Mountain Dew has announced that they are changing their logo and going back to spelling out the word mountain. They shortened it to MTN in 2009 because it seemed cool and hip. but it's been about, about 15 years
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And as all things do, what was once cool is not, and what once was it isn't, and all that.
Yes.
The new logo.
Fads. Trends, yes, if you will.
Yes. The new logo looks more like the one they used in the 90s, which was based on the 1969 Mountain Dew logo.
Mm-hmm, the original, right?
Where they spell it all out. The original 48 logo was a lot different,
think they should go to the. See, that's classic.
I like the classic.
I like the classic Mountain
Dew. I like the font.
Yeah, that's a really cool font. I like that can. I mean, the guy with the gun. That's weird. They have a guy with a gun on there.
I don't know necessarily what they're going for there. I don't know who they're marketing it towards there. But
I think honestly, I think Mountain Dew was considered back in the day was considered like the hillbilly soda.
Oh, that's right.
And that's where they had the hunter guy on there. So,
that's right. Yeah.
Boy, they changed that, didn't they?
Yeah, it is really updated over the years, and I like the new logo.
No,
I like them going back.
It's kind of more edgy on it. And edgy, I mean by like more cut edges instead of like rounded edges kind of thing, which is kind of cool. By the way, I never even noticed.
No,
I never drink Mountain Dew, so I didn't even know this thing. Abbreviated the word.
I mean, when I was young, I drank so much Mountain Dew that I'm pretty sure part of my blood is Mountain Dew.
I think you burned yourself out, is what I think. Yeah.
That's exactly it, man. I haven't had it in a long time. So I'm with you. I hadn't even noticed the
logo. I think
logo.
It tastes terrible.
Yeah.
I'd laugh.
I'm not. Yeah. Every once in a blue moon, I would grab one and be like, oh, you know, this will be fun. I haven't drank this in a long time. And taste buds change.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
But that's interesting. And again, you know, like a lot of things, what once was old is new and all that.
Yep.
We got a lot of local good stuff I want to take some time and focus on here, Seth.
Yes.
And first up, I want to get to a couple of cool things going on. And one of the it's hard to say that this is a cool thing, but the heart behind it is cool to me.
Yes.
This location drop-off for that they're collecting supplies for hurricane relief.
Yes.
There is a location drop-off, a semi-trailer at Pick and Save or on 8th Street South. You can drop off items over there. Baby formula, water. They are looking for cleanup supplies, all kinds of different things. If you can think of something that they could use, they could probably use it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more by contacting Andy at 715-459-4153. That's 459-4153 if you want more information on this. And thank you to everybody who has already donated and put into this one.
Yes, very important.
Really do appreciate that out of the community.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few communities that step up like ours do when it comes to things like this. And I don't know if people have seen these stories or not about a lot of the line workers and electricians that are making a pilgrimage down there.
That is to get people's power back up and running. That's so cool.
It's
amazing.
You think about these jobs and, you know, typical job you work. I've worked in this industry and a typical job, you know, okay, I'm going to be going to this house or this business and I'm going to have to work around this and work around that. But I've done these kind of things before. I'll bring this tool or whatever, and we're good to go. You're walking into another states and states away. An environment you may not know anything about. So just that alone can be very tricky for any of these businesses, any of these industries. But then you're going into it and there's this you're walking into.
Yeah.
You talk about heroes. You talk about people that are doing something that a lot of us couldn't do, wouldn't do, or anything like that. Just a big tip of the hat to every one of them.
I'm telling you, this is what we need. This is what we need to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
This is people pitching in, helping. People, you know, who from all over the country doing these amazing things to get this stuff. and stop talking about the fatheads that keep talking about weather control and stuff like this. Please.
Yeah.
Please stop.
Yeah. It's got to stop. It's got to stop, especially because they're – Look, man, my people, Jews, we have been blamed for running Hollywood for a long time.
I've been blamed for a lot of things, man.
But what a lot of people don't know, and this is just between you and I, Seth,
okay, yeah,
we use that to throw you off the scent because we control the weather with our Jewish
space lasers. With your space
lasers. Yes, yes.
I knew there was a connection. Right?
Now,
it's all connected.
As we look for more, we bring people together more and everything, I'd like the audience to trust in me and trust that me and my fellow Jews, we use our space lasers to distract cats, not the weather.
Because that's the real danger.
Right.
It's cats.
It's cats.
They're going to take over. I'm telling you.
Everything I just said made more sense than the Marjorie Taylors or any of these people talking about controlling the weather. Really? That's what we're doing now. There are people buying it that people can control the weather, for God's sake. We've got really good stuff going on today with Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us as we wrap up the week in part one at 4 o'clock with Hannah Wendell Scott, Foodwise Nutrition Educator with Wood County.
Yeah.
Looking forward to talking with Hannah a little bit. One of our friends from Extension.
Love it.
We're going to get into a couple of cool topics with her. And then in part two, we wrap up the week. Thanks to our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, we're going to be talking with Dave and a couple of other people about the Sports Commission Awards.
Oh, always awesome. Love that.
The Wisconsin Rapids Area Sports Commission is upcoming with their award celebration. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what the organization is.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Always good to get an update on that.
Great sports on your radio dial all weekend long. It kicks off with Playmakers today from 5 to 6. Join us for our live sports call-in show. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing sponsoring that show. Be sure to join us today. Seth and I are going to be talking a little baseball and getting you ready for high school football that is going to be kicking off at 6:50 on 105.5 WIRI.
You can see Nakusa. Man, they are playing really good right now. They look like they got a shot. They're going to have a shot at the conference championship, going to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fun to watch right now. They're doing real good.
Playing some great football and hosting Rippin tonight. Join Randy, Mike, and Seth for that one at 6:50. Our pregame will kick off at 105.5. And over here at WFHR at 6:30, we got Wisconsin hockey.
Hockey.
The Badgers taking on Lindenwood. Again, 6:30, our pregame for that right here at WFHR. Saturday, no over-the-back fence because at 9 a.m., our pregame kicks off for Wisconsin football hosting Rutgers.
That's right.
Or at Rutgers, I'm sorry.
Yes, so get to see the vaunted Scarlet Knight defense, from what we've heard so much about. We'll see what happens there. Everything. I do want a quick reminder, everyone, too, to point out that this is not only this week, but next week as well, there's not going to be any over-the-back fence because, once again, they have an earlier football game, so...
We're looking forward to that one. We'll talk more about that and Playmakers today that will preview that Badger-Rucker game. Also on Saturday, 5:30, Wisconsin Badgers will wrap up that series with Lindenwood. Mm-hmm. That'll be at 5:30 right here at WFHR.
Very nice.
Got a great weekend lineup of shows for you, everybody. Be sure to join us for all of those. Sunshine Polka Show at 7. Terry Talks Nutrition at 8 a.m. Be sure to join us for both of those. And, of course, on Sundays, got a great director's cut lined up for you at 5. 6 to 8, Seth Faces the Music.
Big show, everybody, where my theme this week is party or celebration, because it is my 100th episode.
Nice!
Of Seth Face the Music. I can't believe it. Yeah. I cannot believe it, man.
Yeah.
100 episodes.
Congratulations.
it's crazy. It's fun. I'm super happy, and it's a good show. So tune in, 6 to 8.
It's an amazing
show. Lots of great music this week. So
my dad is your biggest fan.
I threw one in there just for your dad. Little Led Zeppelin in there.
Nice.
Just for Jim. Done. So
very cool. Very cool. He's gonna love it. He's gonna kick out of that one. That's a great show. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And afterwards, you'll have Unlabeled from 8 to 9. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join us for that one, too. New episodes will be coming up next week. Everyone be on the lookout for those.
Yep.
We got some great things going on in our community, Seth, but before we touch on those, I want to remind everybody our newsletter is out there. It is premiered.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Get the first episode because the others won't make sense if you don't read the
first
one.
You don't. You got to get that first one in. You got to get that newsletter. And every week, it'll be coming to your mail, your inbox. So
go to WFHR.com and support local and find out about local through our newsletter.
Yes. More local news than actually a lot of places, which is sad to say, but that's what we're here. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fill a gap. That's why we're doing this.
And going on over in your neck of the woods, Seth, is the community book sale.
That's right. Happening right now, everyone, till 6 o'clock tonight. So head on over there. They had a tremendous day yesterday. Mm-hmm. I want to say that. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Just a reminder, all of the proceeds go to Mid-State Scholarships. That's what we're doing this for. Make sure you go down there, check it out on day two. And then tomorrow, of course, from 8 to 1 is the $2 bag sale. Fill up a bag and pay just $2 for it. So
yeah, be sure to check that out, everybody. Our friends at McMillan Library have a couple of great events going on over the next couple of days. Tomorrow they have their band book club. We support the band, or I should say I support the band. I stand with the band. The band book club is going on. They're going over Mouse.
Yeah, which, by the way, I want to say something about, because that is probably considered one of the great graphic novels of all time. Art Spiegelman tells a story about the Holocaust using mice as the Jews and cats as the Nazis. It's an amazing book.
It really
Please.
Is.
Check that out. Yeah. Even if you're not going to go to the band book club, just look at it. It's an amazing piece of work.
I appreciate McMillan doing that kind of thing over there. That's going on tomorrow from 3:30 to 4:30. And they'll have their Library Family Fun at Zoozort live animal show on October 15th at 6 o'clock over at McMillan Library Theater.
Good, our good friends at Zoozort, yes.
The VFW is going to be at Assumption tonight. The VFW flag presentation at Assumption Football going on tonight. Be sure to attend that and check it out if you can. And Seth, we wanted to also touch on our friends at United Way.
Day of Caring is coming up, everyone. Get your team together. We want as many people as we can. We want to get to as many lawns as we can this year. Don't forget, they also have a free breakfast at 8 o'clock, and raking begins at around 9. This is on the 26th of October, and you get a free t-shirt while supplies last. So get your team together now. Go to where's that email address or the website, uwswac.org.
Yeah.
I misplaced it there for a minute.
Check that one out, everybody, uwswac.org. Be sure to follow along with what they're doing over there. A Pennsylvania man and his 17-year-old stepson ran into their neighbor's burning house on last Monday morning and got her out. They saved their two dogs as well.
Oh, wow.
The woman and stepson were treated at the hospital for burns. A reporter asked the dad why they risked their lives to do it. He and his son is a brave kid, and he added, quote, "We care about our neighbors. We care about this neighborhood."
There you go.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty sums it up right there. That's pretty good.
This is what people do for people.
Strangers helping strangers. Exactly. Oftentimes. That's pretty darn cool. And a guy in North Carolina named Roy Story, we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, we mentioned Mr. Story.
I wanted to shout that out again. I thought that's pretty cool. Yep. It's a good story.
Yep. And it involves pumpkins.
Good story, Roy Story. I worked really hard on that one.
No, I didn't.
We'll be working hard on the weekend, though. You guys have yourselves a great weekend. Good show today,
Seth. Yeah, it was fun.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.